Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, I'm back. It's been a while. I'm Claire Tonti and I'm your host, and this podcast is called Just Make the Thing, for people who want to start a thing and keep on making it. This week, I wanted to read you a quote from Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic. It's a letter to fear, and fear, for a lot of reasons, which I'll talk about later, has really got the better of me over the last few weeks. But this letter helps. So here it is. Fear. Dear old fear, I recognize and respect that you are part of this family, and so I will never exclude you from our activities, but still, your suggestions will never be followed. You're allowed to have a seat, you're allowed to have a voice, but you are not allowed to have a vote. You're not allowed to touch the roadmaps. You're not allowed to suggest detours. You're not allowed to fiddle with the temperature. Dude, you're not even allowed to touch the radio. But above all else, my dear old familiar friend, you are absolutely forbidden to drive. Fear has definitely been in my driver's seat over the last few weeks. One of the reasons, I think, is that I suddenly started to feel really vulnerable. I realized I was putting my ideas out into the world, and that's kind of scary, and it felt huge. I think what triggered it was that our site, Planet Broadcasting, had a pretty major security breach, and I received some pretty scary emails. I won't go into more than that, but it just threw me for a loop. I know this happens to so many organizations and to people all the time, and trolling and all of that stuff is something that seems to just be part and parcel of being online and putting stuff out there. So I've got some perspective, and we're all back under control with the help of so many awesome people, and especially our indomitable editor, Raw Collings. So with that said, I got that old familiar stuck feeling, which I thought I'd kick to the curb after a year of making this show, rear its ugly old head. And boy, that stuck feeling got me. It got me with procrastinating, back-to-back episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race, and scrolling Instagram mindlessly and eating chocolate, and just avoidance. Avoidance of emails, avoidance of writing, avoidance of thinking about podcasting. Anywho, if this sounds familiar to you, rest assured, I'm here and you're totally not alone. But I had an epiphany this morning when I woke up. That stuck feeling, that feeling of procrastination, is actually just our old pal, family, familiar friend, fear. So I went back to my Liz Gilbert book, and me and fear have had a long chat. We've had a coffee and we've come to an agreement. You can't ever get rid of fear, because fear helps you with your creativity. But if you let it control your decisions and control your life, nothing gets made, because your fear of things being perfect, of judgment, of what other people are going to say, just takes over. I also, luckily, have a wonderful friend, Chanel Lichev, who is brilliant for bouncing all this stuff off. So she has moved around the corner over the last few weeks, which is even more exciting. And in this episode, we talk about all the things that we're creating right now and our frustrations and annoyances. I hope it all helps you if you need a debrief too. Big love to you, my friend. For the love is the opposite to the fear. And I think it's where the joy and the laughter and the making things and the unstuckness of our lives lives. So be friends with fear, but lean into the love. Okay, here we go. Chanel, Lichev, and me on Just Make the Thing. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. We are here in your brand new house,
Chanel. Yes. My brand new house that's a little bit old, and which I love. I'm starting to love more and more, except I've decided I hate the lights.
Yeah, they are very like old lady laughs.
Yeah, very
they're
old lady.
Not that bad at all. But they just are. But yeah, they're the ones that you would see in your grandma's house.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, which at one point was super high fashion and cool.
Well, there's a lovely. Apparently, there's a very lovely lady that lives on this street, and her name is Jan, and she's lived here for 50 years. She met Goran the other day, and I think that Jan may have these lights in her hair.
Welcome to our suburb where everybody comes here and lives the rest of their life out.
I mean, that's kind of sweet though. I kind of like the idea of people being so happy in a community that they never want to go anywhere else.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? I like that too. I used to hate the idea of putting down roots.
Mm.
I used to feel like that would make me feel trapped.
Yeah, and stuck a bit. Yeah.
And then I would travel the world forever being interesting and cool and drinking in bars and adventuring.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hit my 30s and I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love the idea of a nice bed.
Oh, me
and a
too.
Cup of tea.
It's wonderful music
isn't
to
it?
My ears.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I also do think that it's just another way of adventuring.
Yeah.
You know, when you're making things. So today we were talking about what to talk about and we wanted to look at all the things that we're making right now at this moment in what, it's March in 2019.
Oh, my God. This year's gone by so quickly.
It has. And I feel like this podcast is becoming a bit of a time capsule.
Yeah, it is.
Don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I like the idea of one day maybe no one else will be interested, but we'll listen back. I can remember when you were pregnant and you moved into your house.
And you wanted to tear your hair out and you thought, is this the greatest test of my relationship?
Yeah, oh, moving. Moving and making things, particularly babies.
Oh, my God.
Is so full on for your relationship. It's so full on so many levels. Okay, so what has moving house and making a baby, like how far along are you now in your pregnancy?
So I am officially, I've been in my third trimester for about a week and a half now, so 29 and a bit weeks.
I felt like you were going to say, I've been in the third trimester forever.
It feels like it. I have to say, yeah. I think I've finally, like, officially finished growing outwards and now I'm just growing forwards. And so every time I go to the physio, she's like, oh, Chanel, you've had a growth spurt. I'm like, I know. My God. Do you know what actually I said to Goran the other day? I was like, what's happening to my belly button? It's getting smaller and smaller. I'm like, it's going to pop out. And then I don't know what's going to happen. I can't be responsible for what happens after that.
Yeah, what happens once it pops? There's nowhere else for it to go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, mate. Don't worry. You look beautiful.
Thanks.
You too. But it is really funny because there are some women who, like my friend Ellen from the Millennial Divide, who was pregnant and just had this like little bump and it just was adorable all the way up until she had her baby and then almost immediately was like skinnier than when she started because she was breastfeeding so much and she's like eating brownies all the time being like, I don't know what's happening. I've never been so skinny. I'm like, I hate you because I look like I'd swallowed a basketball and then three basketballs and then a basketball team and I would like knock people over. And I just am convinced that it's different people's bodies.
It is. It is. It's totally. It's. I reckon that's exactly what it is. And it's like it's dependent on your like your anatomy, the size, literally the size of what your torso was beforehand.
Yeah.
And my physio is like, Chanel, to have a normal sized child, she's like, you have to grow forward. There's nowhere else to
Correct.
Go.
Science.
Yeah.
It's science, Chanel. Yes. You it have is. To grow forward,
yeah.
And you're a little person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know, the baby needs room.
Yeah.
To, you know, to grow.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, exactly. That's what I keep telling myself.
And also so, your husband is ginormous.
He is. And that's the other thing that scares me because I'm like, what if it just can't come out? Well, I guess that's what cesareans are for, right?
Yes.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. I've never had one, but I would recommend a cesarean. Yeah. From hearing from all my friends. And earlier, one of my friend's mums, this is back in like, would have been the 80s where things were different and women could just say things about like their babies and I don't know.
There was less judgment.
There was less judgment.
You were less likely to be trolled on social media for every comment you made.
Everyone was having microwave meals and drinking formula and that was fine. Her mum had six kids and she was saying that she opted to have a cesarean and make sure you have it at 37 weeks before the baby gets too big so you can fit back into your clothes straight away.
Oh,
and so she would like go to her doctor and he would be like, when your due date is in like 3 weeks. She's like, no, I'm having my baby this week.
because otherwise the baby gets too big. So,
and I have an outfit planned and I just won't be able to fit into it if you don't.
Yeah,
if you.
Correct.
Yeah. No, whereas I have maybe 4 or 5 work things left that fit me and I refuse on principle to buy any more. So I don't know what I'm going to do if I get much bigger than this. I keep saying that. I can't be that much bigger. Surely I can't get that much bigger. But who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I know. It's one of those things, isn't it? So what has it taught you at the moment? Like how are you getting through moving house and having a baby being pregnant in your third trimester and still being civil to your husband and like keeping everything together?
Well, the civility, well, I will look, we are fairly civil to each other. This week's been very stressful. We settled like 6 days ago and have been moving ever since. And like most people, when you're moving your life from one destination to the next, you don't realize how much nonsense you have until you have to put it all in boxes and then move it. So that's been fun. And then just stuff's been breaking. You know, like just things get broken in the course of moving.
Correct.
Or things you rely on to be a certain way just aren't. So that's been fun. I find a lot of deep breathing works quite well.
Oh, that's good.
Yep, and also just having really yummy things in the house. I know that's probably not a very sensible idea to sort of eat your feelings, but sometimes like a glazed donut just goes down really well.
I love eating my feelings. That's my favourite thing to do. I've been eating my feelings a lot this week. Other weeks of my cycle, because we've talked about hormones a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
I had this theory that you normally, like for me anyway, my hormone cycle, there would be points in the week, in the month where I have like so much energy and feel really good and everything. And then when your estrogen rises and then your progesterone plummets or whatever, you feel like really gross. And then you kind of end up feeling very loved up for a while and just want to eat everything delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I spent most of my pregnancy in the high estrogen, eat everything delicious, sort of progesterone up and just like being really sort of, yeah, but it was bad because then I just ate. But then I just think you listen to your body, and if that's what you feel like,
I mean, I've had to sort of let go of worrying too much about what I eat because I tried to be sort of very controlled or something, and it just didn't work for me. So I just figure because I actually said to Goran, I was like, do you know what? I finished work in 6 weeks, and then you know what? In 10 weeks, there's going to be an extra person. Another human being around. He's like, holy crap, that's very soon for both of us. And I just figure I'll deal with it all in 10 weeks' time. Like right now I don't have the emotional capacity to try and also rein in eating and moving house and all the other stuff as well.
No.
Yeah.
There's too many things that we carry in our heads.
Oh, my God.
So crazy. Often. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think, and I've taken to writing a whole bunch of lists, which is good, but then also you get overwhelmed by the number of lists.
Yeah.
And then sometimes a list overlap and
And then you forget, oh, there's a dog in the background.
Yes.
Not podcast dog.
No, not today.
No, yeah, because the lists overcome the list and then you can get really, you lose the list.
Yeah. Oh, then, God help you when you lose the list.
Correct. I know. It's really intense. Yeah. I reckon what did I do to move that helped me? No, I have nothing. It was just really hard until it wasn't hard.
Yeah.
Until you get settled. Like you get, it's like anything, right?
Yeah.
It sucks and then you get settled and then you get nice things from Kmart. And it's that creative itch thing, right? The frustration-y thing.
Yeah.
That's what I hated the most about moving. And actually even the end of pregnancy, it was this creative frustration-y thing where you're in the messy middle bit. Like you're sort of between things. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
And to push to have things finished or to have like the nursery done or your baby or like the house done, you've got to like just head down and keep pushing through all of that frustration. But then there's always things like life things like work and family and friend commitments and exercise and groceries that kind of also get in the way and energy levels getting in the way of you completing something.
Yeah,
does
definitely.
That make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I find that really hard. We're actually at that point, we had sort of two strange things happen this week. One was that, well, our studio was finished at the back, as in it now just looks like a room. So it was a garage mm-hmm. because we're building a podcast studio and a YouTube like filming set in our backyard. And in typical my husband James, Mr. Sunday Movies fashion, he organized, like he had all this idea of what he wanted it to be. And when we bought a house, that was the first thing he wanted. He didn't look at anything else when we moved in. He's just like, does it have a space at the back for me to have my studio? Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, yes, but also it has toilets and working things. And like, I've got a building inspection and the house is good for electricals. And he's like, yeah, but the studio. And so the studio, there was a garage out the back in a little shed thing. It was really nice. And we've converted it. But he was just kind of waiting around for me to organize it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how our relationship works. And that's fine. I'm happy with that because I quite like organizing things. But I realized I've coordinated all the builders, I've got all these electricals, we got the floor plan, we got all the soundproofing put in, and now it's just a room with doors and windows and walls and paint and carpet, mm-hmm. but there's nothing else in there. Yeah. And it occurred to me that we need to now put things in there like equipment and desks and couches and, you know, set up his set and all the things that he wants to do. But he's still just waiting for it to appear.
I see.
Like some kind of – and so is Mason, the other part of the podcast. Like they say things to me like, we want a foosball table and we want dartboards. And then Mason's like, yeah, and I want the backdrop to look a certain way and I want this and I want that. And I'm like, okay. Okay, right. Well, but what do you – like who's going to do that? Me? Okay, cool. How? I've never built a YouTube set before. I don't know anything about podcast microphones and equipment. And so it's one of those things, but I'm starting to get excited again now. Now that my teeth are finished and that whole malarkey is over, I'm starting to get excited now about trying to build something that I've never built before.
Yeah.
Again. But I'm a bit frustrated because it's not already done.
Well, there is a bit of – like there is so much excitement in creating something, but then there's obviously a whole bunch of anxiety too. And especially when people get used to relying on you to make the choices that are responsible and the outcomes are always good. So they're like, I've never done this before, but they'll know what they're doing. It'll be fine.
Yes.
It'll be fine.
That's what James always says to me. He's like, yeah, I know, but you're really good at this stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, you need a manager.
That is a standard sentence. You're really good at that kind of thing or I'm not as good at that stuff as you are.
Yes.
Not really.
No, it's just that like if I don't do it, it doesn't get done and it just like sits there. So eventually I do it and also it annoys me more than him.
Yeah.
Like at the moment he's got a desk and two chairs and the mics that we are currently holding in your house plugged in and that is his entire studio. He doesn't have his TV in there. There is still no internet in there. Mm-hmm. Nothing is set up and he's just perpetually – he said to me whenever we've moved into a new place, well, now that I've got my own room because I never had my own room when I was a kid, now that I've got my own room, I'll set it up how I like. And it always just ends up being a room of garbage. Just like piles and piles of shit all over the floor, like not literal shit, but like random boxes and paraphernalia and like weird, I don't even know, half opened like packets of comics just like thrown on the floor and like just – and like tech cords coming out of the wazoo.
Oh, the cords.
Yeah, all the cords are everywhere. And he just – and he's always like, yeah, but when it's my space, it'll be different. And I'm like, okay, so we've built you an entire studio and that's it. There's nothing else in there. Anyway, so I'm just in that creative frustration phase where I feel like I have never built anything like this before and a lot is relying on me to pull it off because he's also had surgery.
Yeah.
And I don't know if – do you ever feel like this? Because James likes to call it my manic phase where I get really manic and I can't rest or sleep until a thing is done.
Yeah, absolutely. I get highly anxious about stuff and I tend to sort of internalize it all and then just start hyperventilating a little bit. So Goran will pick up on it and he's usually like, you look incredibly annoyed. And I'm like, I'm fine. He's like, are you sure? I'm fine. And I'm not fine. I'm never fine. I'm always annoyed.
No. If someone says, especially women, if someone says they're fine, they're definitely not fine. In fact, fine is code for like the apocalypse is about to happen.
Pretty much.
So if the apocalypse was descending on us, I would be like, I'm fine. I am fine with the zombies in my street. Like, that is the level. Like, if I say, oh, nah, I'm feeling a bit down, I'm like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Not that bad. Like, it's a minor annoyance. Once you're saying, especially when you do it with the, I'm fine.
Yes.
Kind of like inflection up and like quite aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. But boys do it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he's definitely had his share of sort of miniature tantrums this week. And that's, I think because men and women obviously, well, not all the time, but, and this is a huge generalization, but tend to express their frustration in different ways. Like, you have to become good at picking up on the cues for it and then just giving someone space. The wonderful thing about living here now is I actually have an entire floor that I can go to, because when we were moving out of our apartment and we were getting stuff fixed, I had nowhere to go. And I was like, I can't even go anywhere. I literally, unless I go sit in like the hallway or something, I go sit out in the common area, like where people are trying to get in the lift. I've got to know where I can be that is going to give you your space. So I'm just going to try and shrink down into the smallest possible space, which is virtually impossible right now given the size that I am, and try not to get in your way. So, yeah, I totally get that. I think there are certain things that Gordon has really strong ideas about, and there are certain things he doesn't care about, and he'll just say, I'll just do whatever you want to do. And I'm like, but I don't want to do anything. I don't even want to think about it.
That is the worst, isn't it, where it's like James goes, this is becoming like it. Let's talk about how annoying our husbands are, and they're both wonderful.
They are awesome.
However, James often says, well, I don't care.
Yeah.
I really care. Which is like, yeah, and which is code for, yeah, I just sort of don't care, except that if you do it in a thing that I don't like, then I will tell you later on. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But he doesn't know he doesn't like it until it happens.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I didn't really like that. I'm like, well, that's what happens, mate, when you don't give an opinion.
Yeah.
So, like, even with the studio, they have to design it, and, like, James gets, like, so, like, he looks really irritated. He's like, oh, fine, Meso, get a pen, get some paper, let's draw this out. We've really got other things to do. I'm like, yeah, I know, but this is the thing that you've wanted for, like, your whole life. And now if it doesn't look the way that you want, you'll get really mad. But you sort of are being really flippant about it because you can't visualize it, because he's not good at, like, he's really good at building worlds in his head and, like, animations and visual, you know, moving, editing, like, all online stuff. But anything, like, in the actual physical world, like building furniture, don't get me started. Like, IKEA furniture sends him over the edge. Anything that's, like, actually physically in the world, he has real issues with. So, like, anything online. Like, that's why the whole business is online.
Yeah.
So,
well, there you go. You've both clearly found that niche that works for you. Because if you were trying to do it in a physical space, you'd probably still be contemplating how you go about doing it.
Yeah.
As opposed to just getting on with it. But
this is a thing. Yeah.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm trying to think of things like, because when you're in a creative frustration space, there are two things that I do. I either avoid, which generally is eating food.
I watch a lot of Netflix. Yeah. I'm doing that a lot this week.
Because you can kind of like turn your brain off a bit. Yeah, even reading doesn't really do it for me.
No.
It's like TV. It's like a terrible – well, it's not terrible. Actually, Brené Brown said something really great and I really liked it. I saw it on her Instagram and it was just talking about how – it's okay to sometimes just switch off. Like if you're having a hard time, it's okay to just turn your brain off for a while and check out and disconnect because you'll come back to it. But sometimes we can have FOMO where it's like fear of missing out, like, or fear of not getting things done immediately, and there's something wrong with us or whatever, and we need – and so then while you're disconnecting, you have to, but then you feel guilty about it.
I think that we do put a lot of judgment on – and especially women tend to do this, not constantly feeling like we're making a contribution to the world, like not feeling like you're being intellectually productive or creatively productive. You feel bad about it, but there has to be room in life for that sometimes when you're physically exhausted. And and it's different things for different people, right? So for me, the worst thing that I could do if I was feeling stressed out would be to go on my phone and use social media, because it just makes me hypersensitive and even more anxious. And for me, TV is the thing. And I used to cop a lot of flack from it, like from my housemates, like, you watch a lot of TV. I'm like, yeah, well, you spend a lot of time on your computer, so I'm not really sure what the distinction is. Like that high culture, low culture. Well, you know, I'm not going to I'm not getting stressed out and then going to see the opera. That's not going to work for me. Like for me, sometimes a bit of TV just gives me a little bit of headspace and a bit of relaxation so I can go on to the next thing. And it does have its place. I mean, it's different things for different people. I would say the other thing I try to do is just move my body a little. Even if it's just going for like a 10-minute walk or something, then I kind of feel like I've freed up.
Something. Yeah.
I don't know, something kind of unlocks and I feel a bit better.
Yeah, look, Deborah Frances White from the Guilty Feminist podcast says that moving your body is the best lubricant for your mind.
Oh.
And I really like that quote, because that's what it feels like. It feels like it just unlocks you, even a walk just unlocks you for a while. And at the moment, because James has been unwell in hospital and things, I haven't been able to go. But I was just getting up and not forcing myself to go to the gym or go for a run or anything full on, but before my son gets up, just going for like a 10-minute walk around the block with the dog.
Yeah.
And that, like, just a tiny bit of time for you in your day can really help unlock your sort of feeling of like tenseness.
Yeah. Like, I think so.
The thing I've been doing that is really bad, which I've noticed, is that I was going to, for some reason, maybe it's because I'm super stressed or I was super stressed with James in hospital, and we had some major issues with our site and there was a security breach, and I don't want to go into too much about it, but it was just a really stressful week for our company, and it's all fine now. But I can tell when I'm really stressed because I am on my phone a lot and I was watching like Netflix on my phone in bed, which is the worst thing for me because then I go to sleep and instead of my brain doing the thing it should be doing, which is relaxing, I wake up anxious. I have these really insane dreams. Like I had a dream where all my teeth fell out. I mean, I know that actually happened, but it was horrible. Like I had my teeth finished and it's all fine, but I had this really vivid dream that like all my teeth had fallen out and were cracked and broken.
Oh, that's awful.
It was really vivid.
Yeah.
And then kind of other horrible dreams, and you wake up with like sore jaw.
Yeah, because you're probably clenching your jaw in your sleep. Yeah.
And I reckon it's down to that, like being on your phone in bed. And so last night I put my phone in the other room and plugged it in.
Yeah, good one.
And then went to sleep without my phone next to me. And it was like so great.
Mm.
Like I woke up just feeling rested.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you get into a habit of using your phone a lot, and it's almost like you need to train yourself to not do that.
Mm.
But I mean, look, as I said before, it's different for every person, but personally for me, the worst thing I can do when I'm stressed is to go on my phone, because then I'm like, oh, here are some more things I needed that I didn't realize. I'll make another list.
Yeah, here are some more things about myself that I'm not doing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Isn't it bad? Mm. It's the whole generally a very jealous person. And I don't know about you, but I tend to like feel really happy for people if they're succeeding and doing well. But I have noticed that with Instagram, you can't help, it's human nature. You do compare yourself. And there's recently been sort of people creating podcasts or doing stuff in a similar way to me that are doing so much better at it. And I was sort of, I had this big meltdown in the kitchen to James where I was like, I'm not doing enough and it's not right and everything's falling apart and blah, everything's terrible and I'm the worst person and I haven't done enough or I'm not, you know, and look at what they're doing. And James said something else that was really great. This is James' podcast today. He just said that no interesting story or film or book or life story of someone who's created something great has ever gone, they're just really successful and everything worked out for them. Do you know what I mean? It's like they were born and then they were really good at the thing and then they just did the thing and they were really good at it. Everyone loved it and they died.
Yeah.
Like that's not how really interesting, great lives or stories happen. Yeah. You have to have all of that sort of self-doubt and frustration and
That's, I think, sometimes what perpetuates you onto the next great thing, isn't it, really? Feeling like something's missing or that you need to do more, and then that's how you push yourself and get there. And it's so funny you say that because everybody else, I can tell you now, everybody else that looks at you and the two of you, you and James in particular, and like seeing how you've made something out of nothing. Like you talked about a virtual like world. Like you've created that out of nothing, and in a world where we're all sort of struggling to find our own creative thing, it's very impressive. Like I think the best thing a person can possibly do is like find that creative outlet and explore it in whatever sort of form and fashion that takes. But you guys have made it your livelihood. That's so amazing. So like you can have your meltdowns. Do that. That's fine. I'm not saying like no, how dare you or shame on you or anything.
Or are you? Shame on you,
shame
Claire.
Shame on you, Claire. But sometimes you never ever, I think there's always going to be somebody that's better off than you and someone that's worse off than you in the world. Sometimes when you're feeling inadequate, maybe you just think of the people that are worse off than you. That's just bad advice, isn't it?
Oh,
like the gentleman I saw at the train station today clearly hasn't cut his hair in about 20 years and was wearing like an open shirt.
With gold chains.
With gold chains.
Cool. I mean, look, he was living his best life potentially. Because it's very cold
today.
Look, he
seemed pretty happy, to be honest. So who am I to judge?
Correct. Everyone has their own lives to lead. I know, you're right. And it's incredibly self-indulgent as someone who like even just has an Australian passport and lives in like a home that's got great, you know, electricity and water and comfort and near our family. Like we're so very lucky. So it does feel really self-indulgent to be like, I'm not as good as like other people that I see in pictures on Instagram, even though their lives are probably miserable too. Who knows?
I can't be on Instagram right now in the physical shape that I'm in, the physical size that I'm in. Not that I like ever used to pay too much attention to that. But I think as I was saying to you before, when you're used to looking a certain way your entire adult life and feeling a certain way and then that all changes and it's completely out of your control, it's very unnerving. And what I don't need to see is either people that have perfect bodies or people that have had a baby and then 2 days later it's like they never had a baby. I'm like,
oh my God.
Where did it go? Did they cut other stuff out? Did you book in for like a double thing, like a Caesar
and
a liposuction? Is that what happened? Can you get like a 2-for-1 discount? Yeah. How does this work exactly?
Oh, mate, that is so true. Oh, God. It's because it's so unrealistic.
Yeah.
Like Tiffany Hall, I mean, Tiff Hall, who's like a fitness trainer, she did a lot of great stuff for women, I think, except now it's flipped the other way because she posted a lot about her and posted herself post-pregnancy with just still like her pregnant tummy looking exactly the way that
she seemed
so
happy. Like when she was interviewed about it as well, she's like, well, I could go and lift weights or I could just go and hug my baby. So I'll just go do that instead. And I was like, that's really sweet.
It is. It's so beautiful. Mm. I mean, now she's like fitter than ever in this like time. So I was following her. I started following her after that episode because I was like, she's so great and empowering and she's all about well-being. And now she's like the most muscular person in the entire world, and I'm like, I think I need to unfollow you again because now you are making me feel bad about myself. Because she's like, a year on since pregnancy, and I've finally got my body back. I'm like, mate, it's been 3 years. I don't know. I think I know what you mean, though.
Yeah.
But see, you're pregnant though, and you're growing a human. You look beautiful.
Yeah. I think, and that's. I mean, it's so lovely for people to sort of be so supportive and complimentary and stuff. But I think you know how you feel about stuff. Like we had our awesome friend's wedding last week.
Yay!
It was so much fun, even though I've never been hotter in my entire life. And I mean physically, temperature-wise, I mean I've never sweated more in my entire life. And everyone's like, you look so beautiful. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. I've just like got these massive sweat patches and like my back is in agony. And I'm like, cool, I'm just going to stand here and try and look as dainty as possible. Couldn't feel any more opposite, but cool.
Oh, you look beautiful. But I know, because that was me 3 years ago at our other friend's wedding in Japan where it was 45 degrees in the shade. And I just, I ended up wearing this like ginormous moo-moo long dress for some unknown reason because it's really hard to find nice pregnancy formal wear.
Don't even get me started.
Oh my God. And I just like literally as each minute progressed grew larger in the heat, like as I was going. Even someone said that one of our other friends was like, "Oh, you've really got pregnant, haven't you?" I'm like, yeah, since we flew in yesterday, it's really here. Yeah, I know. But you, it is hard though. How did you feel going to the wedding and everything? And
look, like I was, yeah, I was obviously really happy to be amongst friends and I was really happy to see like our two friends. I have this real thing. I know that like the reception and all that stuff is really important. And it's a great part of the day, but the best thing for me is to watch like the two people that love each other look at each other and like look at how happy they are and see them make that public commitment to each other. So like that seals the deal for me every time. That's when you'll see me cry. Not at speeches, not at like anything else. It's when they do like the vows or when they do their vows or they sort of make that commitment. That's what I love. So no, I loved it. I mean, I was very sweaty and I didn't have a seat for a while. And at one point, like Goran and then our friends Christian and Laura. So Laura's also pregnant and she's due like a day before me. We'd found these seats and we set ourselves up in the shade. And then after the actual ceremony, the photographer's like, "Okay, family and friends, over towards the seats." And I was like heartbroken. And Laura's like, "Look at Chanel's face." It's like you're literally telling her the world is ending. It's like, "What do you mean I won't get my seat back?"
I saw your face. It was legitimate. That was terrible. No one should get between you and this chair at this point. I totally get it. My feet were sore and I was standing and I just was standing. I didn't have any excuse.
So no, it was really lovely. Like I really, it was just a really lovely, it was a lovely day and a lovely evening. I just think you don't anticipate, and I'm sure you can appreciate this, especially towards the end of your pregnancy, how incredibly uncomfortable you begin to feel in every position that you're in. So like standing is hard, sitting is hard, lying down is hard. Like I said to Goran the other night, I was like, I'm getting over this. Like I don't think I could do this for too much longer.
Yeah. That is the things that they don't tell you, right? Because I remember that too. I also, for me, it took like I feel like my body has like got back to itself. Like I'm stronger and I've been doing a lot of kind of gym and stuff. But I think we, because of the images that we see, like you were talking about, we underestimate how much change happens and then how much you go through to make a human. And it's a massive thing to do and it's an incredible thing. And you do get yourself back and your body back, but it does, it's probably underestimated how hard it is and how.
I would totally agree. Well, like, if you compare, so, and it's not quite the same comparison, but if you compare going through a pregnancy and then like going through the labor and then the recovery from that, that's in a relatively short period of time. So let's say 2 years all up, like on a basic level, like after your body stops producing the hormones that it does during pregnancy, after labor and maybe up until the time that you might stop breastfeeding if that's what you choose to do. It's roughly 2 years, roughly. Longer for some, shorter for others. Like the next time that your body goes through or that kind of change is probably when you go through menopause, which takes years. And also before that is when you're going through puberty, which takes like 6 years. And even then you feel like you're kind of going a little crazy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Correct.
When your body changes quite dramatically, but it happens over a much longer period of time. And it's not that it, I think with pregnancy, the expectation is that you just go back to what you were. Whereas when you go through adolescence, your body changes forever. When you go through menopause, your body changes forever. So I think there's a lot of, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And I think it's just, it can really toy with you if you are the kind of person that, I guess, believes that you have like a level of control of your
Physical.
I've
never thought about it before, but you're so right. And it's kind of scary in a way, but it's also a beautiful way of looking at it that having a baby is not something that you can ever go back to not having had.
No.
And so your body changes. And it doesn't mean it in a bad way. It just means it will change.
Yeah.
And it's a permanent thing.
Yeah.
But not it doesn't mean that everything changes. And you can obviously be as strong as you were before and all of those things, but it takes time. But yeah, like puberty or anything in life, I guess any experience that you have, you're never going to be the same.
No.
Because you become a parent.
Yeah.
And that's such a huge life milestone. And for women particularly, there is this entire emphasis on getting your body back as opposed to, and this is what Tiff Hall was saying, instead of am I getting my body back, it should be how can I be a good mother, how can I care for myself?
Mm.
And that is the thing, because I think there's a lot of stuff about get your body back and be a good mother to your child.
Mm.
But I know for me, I kind of forgot about the how do I look after myself, not like maintain my weight, but like how do I look after my heart and my head and my emotional well-being? Because I think that can get lost in the are you being good enough mother to your child? Are you breastfeeding forever on a lily pad because that's what they need? Are you feeding them all organic food from, I don't know, that you've sourced from
some
farmer's
market? You're making everything from scratch, from the garden vegetable patch that you've grown yourself,
exactly.
So you know there's no pesticides
Have you got them in a routine already? Are they sleeping through the night by day two? You know, all this kind of pressure that I just don't think we used to have, and I do think there needs to be much more.
I definitely don't think it used to be self-care. That way. And I also think, not to discredit the efforts and the work of our parents, but I think for the most part, women had a specific role when they decided to become parents, and there wasn't also a level of pressure to go and do things in the outside world. Like if you did, great, and if you were successful, even better. But I think now it's like, yeah, but so you've had a kid, so now when you're going back to work, you know, shouldn't you be getting back to work?
Yeah. Shouldn't you be getting back to work like you never had a baby, also getting your figure back and like looking exactly the same as you did before? And shouldn't you also be somehow being like Earth Mother and being perfect and like raising a perfect child and all those things? I was speaking to a friend of mine who's having their second, or has had their second, actually two different friends. And I was reflecting on myself as well and the things that I wish that I had known after I had our son. And one of those is like to throw everything out the window, not physically, but like books and Google, and put as little pressure on yourself to be perfect, or your child to sleep through the night, or you to have to be like doing a certain thing in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like I think I really had this idea that I would be like this perfect parent, and our son had lots of health issues as well, which made it more complicated. But I think that the more that you can care for yourself and look after yourself, the better parent you'll be, right?
Yeah.
Because you're in a better place. And the other thing I realized is, this is going to sound horrible, but you just have to accept the fact that you probably won't sleep for a year or more.
I've heard this, that I sleep particularly well now, but like, yes, I have heard that is the case.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. I mean, not that I'm super happy about it, but it is kind of what it is. You know, it's a choice that we've made. And I think it all kind of works out. You eventually go back to sleep at some
point. You do.
My sister said the same thing. You think you'll never sleep again, but then you do.
You do. I know. Like our son sleeps all the way through the night. He wakes up at like 8 o'clock. It's amazing. I know. It's like a dream.
Wish I slept until 8.
I know. He loves sleeping.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, yeah, but I just only say that because for me when I went into it, I had this like naive expectation that like if I did things a certain way, then I would get a baby that slept. And it was my fault if my baby didn't sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's my fault if my baby wasn't eating the right way or feeding the right way or blah, blah, blah. And what I've come to realize is nothing is ever your fault.
No,
that's not true either. But, you know, like it's much more likely that you've just got a kid that you've got and you just get through it the way
you do. My nephew he's six and he self-regulates in terms of his diet. It's quite impressive. Whereas I will like quite happily have dinner, I'm full, but then I want sweets. If he's eaten dinner, which is not usually a very big dinner, and he's done, he's done and you can offer him anything and he won't eat it. He's just like, nah, not interested. And my sister used to say, yeah, he'll have a big breakfast and he'll have a little bit for lunch. She's like, dinner, I don't bother to try and push on him anymore. He'll have a little bit if he feels like it. But I used to get guilt into feeling like, oh, he's not having his meat and three veg. And she's like, he doesn't want to eat and he's fine. He's still growing, you know, he's still healthy and all those things. But at nighttime, he's just not a big eater at nighttime. And like all humans, we all do things differently. So why would we have an expectation that our children like will follow some sort of generic pattern of, I don't know, behavior? I don't know.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. It's kind of like life, isn't it? Like we're all different and trying to force them into – like you want to obviously have boundaries and stuff. But
of course,
in general, yeah, you don't – like there's no point trying to force them to be someone they're not or do things in a way that isn't going to work for them. And that's the thing, like, yeah, I've learned – with my son anyway, he knows his own mind and we put in lots of boundaries for him in lots of ways, but there are other things like around food and stuff where I can see like he's sensible, he gets veggies in and stuff and that's the main thing. And, yeah, you can't expect them to be a certain way.
No, you know? That's definitely so not.
Yeah. Well, we are coming to the end of our podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. What is something that you are looking forward to finishing? Like, with the house, like, is there something that you're looking forward to?
I think other than sort of having the nursery set up, I think I just really want to complete my bedroom because there's something, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but in our apartment, I loved our space. I was so happy there and it was a really good formative time in my life. Like as a young adult, I really, really enjoyed it and I'll look back on it fondly forever. But I never quite felt like my bedroom was my sanctuary. So I want to turn my bedroom into a sanctuary, somewhere where I feel comfortable and where I want to be and feels like me, like feels like my space, which is relaxing and calming and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what I'm looking forward to the most. We have a bed in here which is lovely. Because we didn't a few days ago.
It's so nice. And it's got like a really relaxing blue ocean-y bedspread. I love it.
But
it's
it'd awesome. Be nice to just have like I want to put some nice photos up on the walls and just have a closet that has some level of order to it and have stuff packed away. And then once it feels like a sanctuary, I'll be happy. Yeah. What about you at the studio? Even though it's not your vision.
I know. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's not my vision, but it's becoming my vision. My role in life is to look after James, Mr. Sunday Movies. That's it. And Meso. Keep those guys chuffing along. I'm cool with that. They're cool guys. I am really looking forward to getting it all set up and building the set and having it come together in the way that we want.
Yeah.
And I want it all to be done as I always do with things I'm making right now. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really frustrated now that it's not done.
Sure,
I looked at it today and was like, oh, this is so annoying. Like why didn't we – if I'd thought about it, we could have started all of the ordering of stuff earlier – and we didn't because I think I kind of thought that maybe James would do that because it's James's studio, but he hasn't and that's cool because now I'm starting a new thing. So I'm going to learn how to build this thing. So, yeah, the set I think is the thing I'm looking forward to.
That's going to look awesome. The West. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And also the back part is a pod studio, which is going to be just like a blank sort of pod studio that we can record in and we don't have to like transport gear anywhere and it'll all be set up with and I can upload everything to Colling straight away in there and it's soundproof so it'll sound really good and I can record the Millennial Divide in there and then I'm also going to have my own office space too.
Wow.
I know in the old room where James used to record.
A grown-up office.
An actual grown-up office.
I've always wanted one of those.
I know. I've never actually had one ever because teachers don't get an office. They get a desk in a classroom. So I've never had an office. So I'm going to make it my office.
That's nice.
Which is very exciting. So and sort of my arts writing space.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really fun. So they're the things that I'm building at the moment.
Oh, wonderful.
I know. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to all those things. But now it's getting to them.
Yeah.
Which we will do.
Yes.
We will check in.
In time.
Yep. So you build your bedroom.
I will.
And I build a ridiculous set for you two somehow. Okay.
Bye. All right,
bye. You've been listening to a podcast called Just Make the Thing with me, Claire Tonti, and this week with my pal, Chanel Luchev. For more podcasts like this one, go to our website, planetbroadcasting.com. You can find me on Instagram, that's where I like to tell stories, at Claire Tonti, or on Twitter at Mrs. Sunday Movies. Also, you can find Chanel Luchev at Bend Yoga Melbourne, and this episode was edited by our wonderful editor, Raw Collings. We have a newsletter, so sign up to find out more about great Australian pods like this one. You can do that at our website. And we also have a Planet Broadcasting Facebook group if you want to head over and join that one too. All right, that's it from me this week. Remember, fear is a pal that you don't need to let sit in your driver's seat. So be kind to fear, then go and create with love. Have some fun. Don't take it too seriously. All right, talk to you next week. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.